Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun, like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details. College basketball is nonstop, big games, tight spreads, momentum swings every night. And now FanDuel is giving you a way to turn that energy into even bigger wins with a college basketball parlay profit boost. Here's how it works. Build any college hoops parlay you like. The early tip, the rivalry game, the ranked matchup, the late night West Coast shootout. Mix spreads, totals, props, whatever fits your read of the slate. Then just apply your profit boost and instantly bump up that potential payout. Go safe. Go spicy. Go with the team you've been following all season. It's your parlay, your style, now with even more upside behind it. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel. Play your game. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Today, we're talking healthcare, whether Obamacare subsidies at the center of a government shutdown will be funded, or if the GOP will propose an alternative they can all agree on. Let's set the table first with the latest from KCBS.
President Trump is reportedly prepared to take action after two bills to tackle expiring healthcare subsidies failed to pass in the Senate. The lack of a solution could send costs up for 24 million Americans in the new year. For more on this, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Margaret Brennan, CBS News foreign affairs correspondent and moderator of Face the Nation. Margaret, good morning. You'll be joined on Face the Nation by Republican Senator Bill Cassidy, who has said that he's open to compromise with Democrats on this. Do you see a window to get it done?
Well, we saw an attempt to have a vote yesterday, and it went nowhere in terms of actual coalescing among Republicans around a single solution. So we're going to talk to Senator Cassidy about whether, you know, that's going to change, because we are looking at a hard date on the calendar for expiration of those enhanced premium subsidies. And whether you like Obamacare or not, the price hike is a real thing for those premiums that consumers are going to experience. And so there may be a political calculus here for the administration to say, in the midst of an affordability crisis going into the midterms, perhaps we don't want to let this happen. Remember, this is what the Democrats shut down the government over in the first place. But the Democrats haven't been able to bring Republicans over around a single policy, you know, extension or short-term extension or any kind of proposal. So we're kind of in a mess, is the long and short of it, and it's going to have real-world consequences. So we're going to talk to Senator Cassidy, who's also a doctor, about that, as well as the disarray within the FDA.
And Margaret, quickly before I let you go, you'll also be talking with the White House economic advisor, Kevin Hassett, after a third straight rate cut from the Fed. He's rumored to be the next Fed chair. The president has called for more bigger cuts. Will Kevin Hassett be a big cut guy?
Well, you know, Kevin Hassett is a longtime economist and somebody who has said a lot about the independence of the Fed and the need to maintain it. So he's saying that at a time where, if he is the person chosen, he would have to go through lawmaker confirmation, Senate confirmation. So we'll see if he does stick by his word that he is committed to independence of the Fed and making the choice based on economic data and not political whim. But he is insistent right now that is what he would do, though he also praises the president's policies that he has been part of course, as the top economic advisor to President Trump. We're going to talk about the reality for consumers who are out there shopping right now. The president has spoken about the affordability crisis as a quote unquote, you know, hoax by Democrats. But they're also doing things like taking legal action against beef companies to try to lower beef prices, something the Biden administration also did that didn't lower costs. And we've seen them at least acknowledge that they do see some increase in prices impacting Americans' daily life. So we're going to talk to him about how they square that circle.
Margaret Brennan, thank you. We will see and hear you on Face the Nation on Sunday.
Here's more on the GOP response to Obamacare from Tommy Tucker at WWL in New Orleans.
David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. So what's going on with health care in Washington? Because it seems like it's all about not letting the other side win as opposed to legitimately finding a problem to health care delivery in this country.
I think you're right. I think both sides are poking their fingers in each other's eye and not solving a problem. And there's lots of problems with our healthcare delivery system, there's no question. But the short-term problem is the fact that, as many listeners are probably realizing when they're looking at their bills for next year, healthcare costs are going up. I mean, in most cases, double digits at this point. And what we need to have is a fix, you know, to the rising healthcare insurance premiums. Now, there's a longer debate regarding what to do for that, but the short-term way of solving it for the last 15 years or so has been to do what? It's to provide the subsidies for people to be able to afford their healthcare insurance.
So and are these Obamacare subsidies, or are these subsidies that were instituted after COVID?
These were primarily from the Obamacare. But basically what Obamacare said is that everybody should have insurance in this country, which is a great idea, because if you're not insured, the costs of health care are dramatically higher. And if you don't have health insurance, what happens is the rest of us who do have health insurance essentially pay for you. So the costs don't disappear. They just get shifted away to the rest. So the idea was that we're going to require everybody to have health insurance. If you can't afford the health insurance, we're going to either provide it for free or subsidize it based upon a sliding scale of your income, kind of like a means-tested process. And in terms of improving access to healthcare, that is, in terms of getting more people insured, it worked. Now, did it address the cost of healthcare, like overall? No, but it made it possible for more people, millions of more people, to be able to afford healthcare insurance. Well, essentially the big beautiful bill took away those subsidies, and so now what we're seeing is that as we're going into next year, and it's the open enrollment periods, is that people are seeing the cost of their insurance go up. Now, some of it is beyond the issue of not having the subsidies, but to a large extent, the subsidies would still make it affordable for people to be able to buy and get the insurance. And so the big, beautiful bill got rid of the subsidies, and we have nothing in place. And so if by the end of this month a fix doesn't occur, we're going to have and listeners can call in and talk about how much they're seeing their insurance premiums go up for next year. They're going to go up. And for a lot of people, they're not going to be able to afford their health care insurance.
Let me take a break. Here's what I don't get. It seems like because it's Obamacare, the Republicans are automatically against it, so they did away with it. But yet they realized that something needed to be done, so now they're going to revisit it. But they don't want to call it Obamacare, so they want to call it their own plan. Bill Cassidy wants to give money to people, which I never heard of Republicans wanting to give money to people, but he does, and that's what they want to do. But not an Obamacare subsidy. Instead, I'll give you the cash and you can do what you want with it. And instead of giving it to the greedy insurance companies, and I'm paraphrasing the president there, but it seems as though that you're going to wind up giving it to the insurance company anyway. I'm thoroughly confused. But they hated Obama, but they love the fact that there was no limit on coverage, that there was no upper limit, right, that you keep your 26-year-old kid on your policy and that you couldn't be denied for pre-existing conditions. Now they also love the subsidies, but the Republicans politically can't admit that this is a good idea, so they have to rebrand it somehow or reinvent it somehow. But if they're handing out checks, is that a Republican thing?
Well, first off, the whole concept of Obamacare, let's walk it even back further, was based upon a plan in Massachusetts by Mitt Romney, who came up with the idea for it when the Republicans came up with an alternative for subsidies like this in response to Bill Clinton. So really, the
Clinton had subsidies. Mitt Romney says,
So Clinton had an idea that the Republicans said, no, we don't like that idea. Let's come up with an idea instead of doing what's called managed care and all very complex process for moving things around in terms of like incentives for cutting expenses. Let's come up with an idea to insure more people with subsidies, which Mitt Romney then adopted in Massachusetts, which then Barack Obama adopted. So the whole idea of the subsidies to make it possible for people to buy health care insurance really is originally from over 30 years ago, a Republican idea. So that was the irony when Obamacare was being debated, that Obama is basically saying, well, I'm introducing an idea that you Republicans came up with as an alternative to Bill Clinton's health care or Hillary Clinton's health care proposals, you know, back in the 1990s. So none of them voted for it. And now it's been going on for 15 years or something. And there's problems, but there's no perfect plan out there at this point, you know, but it has made it possible for about 12 million more people in the United States to get health care insurance. Like you pointed out, people who are in their early 20s can be on their parents' plan. You can't be denied for pre-existing coverage. So the irony is they're now opposing an idea, not just because it was by Obama, but opposing an idea that they originally embraced 30 years ago.
Crazy. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Dusty Johnson, South Dakota. Healthcare is unbelievably complicated. You got that right, Cap.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun, like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details. College basketball is nonstop, big games, tight spreads, momentum swings every night. And now FanDuel is giving you a way to turn that energy into even bigger wins with a college basketball parlay profit boost. Here's how it works. Build any college hoops parlay you like. The early tip, the rivalry game, the ranked matchup, the late night West Coast shootout. Mix spreads, totals, props, whatever fits your read of the slate. Then just apply your profit boost and instantly bump up that potential payout. Go safe, go spicy, go with the team you've been following all season. It's your parlay, your style, now with even more upside behind it. Head to FanDuel.com/podcast to get started. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What do we do to get people affordable health care? And that's one of the things we can talk about with U.S. Senator John Kennedy, who's joining us now on the live line. Good morning, Senator Kennedy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Dad. Thanks for having me, man.
Glad that you're here. Let's start there. I was going to talk to you about immigration first, but since we're kind of transitioning here, let's start there because I know that that has been kind of the topic of the day there on the Hill, particularly for the Senate, talking about the future of the Affordable Care Act, health care subsidies, and what is the solution to giving Americans access to affordable health care if not keeping these subsidies in place for the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare?
Well, if I were king for a day, I'm not, and I don't aspire to be. Here's what I would do to help the 24 million people who get their health care through the exchanges, which, of course, is a small percentage of Americans, but nonetheless important. To reduce the cost of health care, we could pass a bill requiring what's called site neutrality, which means you pay the same price for a procedure in the hospital as you do in an outpatient clinic. Right now, we pay more if you get the service in a hospital. That makes absolutely no difference. Number two, the subsidies that you talk about right now, that we have right now, are paid directly by the federal government to the insurance companies. There's an enormous amount of fraud, just enormous amount of fraud in the billions. I would change the law to provide that the money goes from the federal government to the patient, to the people, and they get to decide which insurance program they want to buy, not just sending the money to the insurance companies. Those would be two of the things that I would do almost immediately. The third thing I would do is we have an executive order that provides this, but hospitals aren't complying. Hospitals need to post their prices so people can shop around. They're required to do it, but a lot of hospitals don't comply.
Yeah, that's always a huge mystery. You never know when you're going in for a medical procedure or a hospitalization or whatever. You have no idea what it's going to cost you in the end, whether you have insurance or not, whether you have Medicare or Medicaid or not, whether you have whatever your situation. You really do have no idea what it's going to cost. You just have to wait for that bill and then, you know, get pie-eyed because it's always much larger than you ever thought it could be.
Well, if you went into Costco tomorrow and you bought a bunch of stuff, and you went to check out, and they said, okay, that's great. We're not going to tell you what you got to pay. We'll tell you in about 6 weeks. But you can take the stuff home, but if you don't pay in 6 weeks, whatever we tell you, we're going to bankrupt you. Nobody would buy anything from Costco, but that's how we do healthcare. Doesn't make any sense.
Is there any model you like for universal healthcare or providing public healthcare to all Americans?
Well, we have almost universal health care now. Most people get their health care through their employer. We have a large portion of people who get their health care through Medicaid if their income is low enough. And we have a large portion of people who get their health care through Medicare, the elderly. There's a group, I think it's 10 to maybe 15%, who don't fall into any of those three groups, that were allowed under Obamacare to go onto an exchange and buy insurance with the federal government's help. I mean,
what's the alternative? What do we do instead?
Just you can keep the exchanges, but you have to reform how we're delivering the care. Stop sending the money directly to the insurance company. Send it to people. Reform your billing practices. Require transparency. Get serious about the fraud.
When it comes to healthcare subsidies, no matter what happens, the best defense is staying as healthy as you can. And part of that is making sure you're sober when you drive. Here's more from WWJ in Detroit on a program aimed at seniors about driving while high.
We released a study last week that found that adults age 50 and older who used cannabis, about 20% of those adults reported driving after use of cannabis in the past year.
Okay, that's a pretty big number. So are you finding that, I guess I don't know how to compare this to previous years, but the legalization and how often we see it here in the state of Michigan is contributing to that?
So what we have seen over time with legalization across the country and increasing access to cannabis is that use in these older ages, middle and older adults, is increasing. Cannabis use is increasing. And with that increase in use, people still go about their daily lives and need to drive places. And so we're seeing increasing rates of reporting driving after using cannabis when people could be impaired from their use.
And I'm guessing, you know, in the past, it was alcohol use and when it came to impaired driving. So this is something that is becoming more, unfortunately, popular, lack of a better term.
Yes, there's definitely an increase in the use of cannabis. And so, again, as people go about their daily lives, there will be increased impaired driving related to cannabis. Since it's a legal, accessible substance, people are accessing it, using it, and it's having both the effects that they desire, but also some potential negative consequences like impacting motor vehicle crashes and other things that would be key for older adults, for example, relating to falls or potentially even interacting with medications, impairing their memory, things like that.
Does age contribute to making the risks higher?
Yeah, there haven't been, because of the way legalization of cannabis has worked and the way cannabis has been able to be studied, we haven't been able to do definitive studies on how much age and cannabis use sort of interact to increase risk. But we do know that as people are aging, their abilities to remember things, to react quickly, start to deteriorate. And cannabis is a substance that also does that to the body and to the brain. And so we'd expect that it's going to make it a little bit harder to react quickly when driving. For example, when a deer jumps out in the road, you have to react very quickly. When a unintended person, you know, swerves in front of you, you have to react quickly. And we know that those things slow down with age and those things slow down with cannabis use.
So when you're talking about the frequency of use and, you know, the, I guess, the risk factors still not deterring someone, are we talking about dependency and addiction in some cases?
Yeah, we've seen in our data that depending on the symptom, anywhere from, you know, maybe 12 to 20% of folks in this age range who use cannabis are reporting at least some symptoms of dependence, of addiction. For cannabis, that's called a cannabis use disorder, and it can result in affecting your life, you know, valued areas of life, fulfillment of roles. It can also result in tolerance, and so needing more of the cannabis to get the same effects that are intended, or withdrawal, which is when you don't have it, have cannabis, feeling irritable, feeling anxiety, tense, and some other physical symptoms as well.
Does it say anything about their, I guess, unknowing of the dangers associated with it? Meaning they may report doing it, but they may also not report it being a big deal, for example.
Right. So we actually have some other data. It's not in this press release, but we have some other data that shows a lot of people still in this age range don't believe that cannabis is addictive. And the scientific truth is that it is. And so there's still some misperceptions about some of the consequences or risks associated with cannabis use.
So what are some of the takeaways that you had when you were looking at this data? Anything that stood out?
Yeah, what stood out to me is, I'll pause because I need a sound. I know it's a sound bite, and when I hesitate, I'll start over. Yeah. Some of the things that stood out to me about these data were that also 50% of older adults who use cannabis, and by older adults, I mean 50 and older, which is actually middle age and older adults, about half of them hadn't ever talked to their healthcare providers, their doctor or their nurse practitioner, you know, whoever does their primary care. They never talked about it. And so they're using a substance. Often folks in this age range report using for mental health reasons, pain, sleep. They're looking for ways to feel better, but they haven't talked about the role of cannabis with their providers. And so I think that's really something that stands out. And if they're not talking with their providers about it, then their providers aren't also giving them the information about potential risks like impaired driving related to cannabis.
So that's really the first line of defense where they can learn about some of these risks is talking to a healthcare provider, and that's where it may be introduced to them, and them not bringing it up may be one of the things that they are missing.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I think the only thing I would add is we know that people are going to use cannabis. It's a legal substance in our state right now. And we know that it has impacts on critical driving related functions. So I would just advise anyone, if they choose to use cannabis, to use it at a time when they don't plan on driving for several hours. And it really can vary based on the strength of the particular product they're using. But that's why I say several hours, just to be on the safe side.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
At Marathon gas stations, every stop is the start of fun, like the awesome fuel savings you can get with Marathon Rewards. Join Marathon Rewards today and start earning rewards on every gallon of gas. You can redeem rewards at any time, saving up to $1 per gallon. And don't forget, Marathon stations are packed with all the conveniences you need to stock up and live life on the go. Marathon, where fun runs on full. Available at participating Marathon locations. Terms and conditions apply. See MarathonRewards.com for details.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.